ministered last week on the gospel of peace. And let's go back to Romans 1, verse 16. I'll read this from the Message translation. It's Paul talking to the church in Rome. It's news I'm most proud to proclaim, this extraordinary message. And in the Message version, Peterson uses the word message for gospel, which I like that. Extraordinary message of God's powerful plan, that's the gospel, to rescue everyone who trusts Him, starting with the Jews and then right on to everyone else. That includes me and you. God's way of putting people right shows up in the acts of faith, confirming what Scripture has said all along. The person in right standing before God by trusting Him really lives. Who wants to really live today? Don't we all just want to, you know, we're here on this earth. Don't you want to really live? And the only way to really live is in Jesus. And that's the message of the gospel. It's all about life. It's not about death. It's about life. It's Jesus' death that brought life for us. And again, the gospel is good news. We mentioned it last week, the basics of the gospel. It's about Jesus, His life, His death, His burial, His resurrection. He rose on the third day. He substituted Himself for us. He paid the price for our sins so we don't have to pay the penalty. He bore sickness on His body. He bore poverty. He bore bondage for us so that we could be free. So that we could live an abundant life, not just when we die and go to heaven, but here on in this world, in the midst of all the chaos and the pain and the craziness, we can live an abundant life. Isn't that amazing? A life overflowing with good things. And so when we're saved, and to be saved is very easy, Romans 10 says, and it just seems too easy. It's basically just calling on the name of Jesus. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But it's believing that God raised Jesus from the dead, the gospel, and then confessing with your mouth, Jesus is my Lord. He's my Savior. I give Him my life. And when you do that, you enter into God's family. When you die, you go to heaven when you die. That's salvation. You enter in to this family, into an inheritance, which, I mean, you know, 2,000 promises, over 2,000 promises in the Word, just on provision alone. How many thousands of promises are there? I don't even know. Who's the guy that's going to go count all the promises? Who's got that job? But promises in every area of your life. He's got promises and answers for you. But then, so He's given us an inheritance, and with that inheritance, we get to do stuff. We have authority. We have power in our words. We can change our world, just like Jesus did. Change our circumstances. Change our environment by what we believe in our inheritance and what we say. Isn't that something? It's good to be a believer. We've got power over the enemy. Jesus defeated Satan 2,000 years ago. We don't have to defeat Satan. He's already been defeated. We just need to enforce the victory that we've already have. So I want you to know today, whatever you're going through, Jesus has already won the victory in that area. And so you can go forth in confidence knowing that victory, the manifestation of it, where you see it and touch it and you can feel it, is on the way. It's on the way. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's on the way. You need to believe that today. It's on the way. Harvest is on the way. Now, as part of my right standing with God, which we call righteousness, our hearts should be ruled by peace. Now, peace is the primary message of the gospel. Peace with God, peace with ourselves, peace with each other. And why do I say that? Because in the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, they had provision. That's not anything new under the New Covenant. They had healing. They had miracles. They had deliverance. All those things were under the Old Covenant. But peace with God was not. I mean, every day they're making sacrifices for our sins. The Spirit of God's not living in people. There's still a barrier, and people needed a go-between, a man to be the go-between. They couldn't come to God on their own. So they didn't know what we know. They didn't know they had peace with God. They didn't know they were reconciled with God. But under this new covenant, we have peace. And not only that, but people here at Good News Church, because we're empowered to give life, and because we believe in the ministry of reconciliation, and we believe that we're ambassadors for Christ, and we believe that there's a believer's ministry, we believe we're peacemakers. We believe that that peace is so much on us and in us that we just exude peace wherever we go. And then when we come on the scene, Jesus comes on the scene. Woo! And when we lay hands on people, it's like Jesus laying hands on people. And when we speak, and that's what right standing is, we have the same position that Jesus has. And so when we speak words according to the Word of God in the name of Jesus, it's like Jesus Himself saying it. Woo! Some of them should be saying, woo! Woo! You need a little more woos in your life. You're not doing enough wooing. Look. At work you can go, woo. You know, we go to the football games, college games yesterday. How many people were like screaming in their households? And we have a problem with a little woo. I'm not even going to go there. I'm just going to move right along. You know, and I'm going to say it, okay? I'm a Gamecock fan, and you probably hate me for that. But as far as I know, Steve Spurrier can't save me. Steve Spurrier, he don't give me no peace. I mean, we're getting all our excitement and we're putting it in the wrong place. That shows you how pathetic our lives are. Moving right along. Just going to mosey on into the next scripture here. Let you just think about that while you're turning to John 14. We get excited about the wrong things. John 14, verse 27, Amplified. This is something to get excited about now. Peace I leave with you, my own peace. That peace that was when he was asleep in the boat. That peace when he was standing before Pontius Pilate. That peace when he was on the cross where he could say, forgive them. He's thinking about other people on the cross. He's been whipped and nails in his hands and a thorn stuck on his head. Oh my goodness. And he's thinking about others. He's ministering to the guy next to him. What peace How did he not defend himself? I mean, if he wanted to, he could have brought legions of angels. I mean, he walked through the midst of them many times when they wanted to throw him off the cliff. And at one point in the garden, it says that the guards, they fell down by the power of God. What peace. This is the peace we're talking about. My own peace I now give and bequeath to you, not as the world gives. They have a form of peace. I mean, you know, and thank God for working out. And thank God for the spa treatment. And thank God for, you know, all these different things that the world does. That's why they got to medicate themselves. That's why they got to, alcohol. That's why, you know, the entertainment and all these different things. I mean, sometimes the only peace some people have is if their team wins. That's the only time they feel joy. But that excitement and joy you feel when your team wins, that should be, when in Jesus, it should just be abiding in you. See, the world's peace, it's up and down. It's just a feeling. But God's peace, it's a knowing. Just let it out. If you can't hold it, just let it out. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated. Raise your hand if you've been agitated this week. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. And do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. And I read this last week about the definition of peace, and I just loved it because this is where we're to live our lives. It's wholeness, completeness, tranquility in the soul, unaffected by outward circumstances or pressures. It's order in the midst of chaos. It's calm, inner stability that results in the ability to conduct oneself peacefully. And I love this. It's a dominating peace. I like that. Dominating peace. And just like you can have an abundance of something, you can have abundance of provision, abundance of health, you can have an abundance of peace in your soul. Just an overflowing of peace in your soul. And see, what we have to realize is peace is not out here. And that's where the world lives, and many Christians live, and they base their peace on what they see and what they feel, what they can touch, what they can hear. It's all on their physical senses. But the peace I'm talking about in your soul is not from out here. It doesn't come from without. It comes from within. It bubbles up from the inside. It comes from your spirit, man, from your spirit to your soul to your body, not from your body to your spirit. It's being whole, complete, orderly, stable, and poised for the manifestation of the blessings of God. See, it's in those times of peace that we hear from Him. It's in those times of peace that we're expectant. It's in those times of peace that even though, you know, craziness and chaos is going on around us, we can still reach out to others when we're hurting. It's an expectancy of God's blessings. I said this last week, you conduct yourselves peacefully when you should be freaking out. Don't raise your hand. Who's been freaking out this week? I heard that laugh. It happens to all of us. And, you know, it's what the enemy tries to do is take your peace. And so he's trying to bring circumstances. I'll just have to come down already. I try to wait as long as I can. But see, he tries to bring circumstances and situations to rob you of your peace. And you know what is amazing? Is he'll use other Christians. Or he'll use people that are close to you. And sometimes with certain people, you let your guard down. And then you let them get in there. And then before you know it, they're saying things and doing things. And your peace just left, went out the door. Just went out the window. And then what do we do? We get angry. Should I even go there? I mean, we don't even need to talk about that. We get angry. We get in the flesh. We begin to do natural things to try to rectify the situation. When none of that's helping, when you're in the flesh, you're only making this situation worse. Why? The Bible says, be angry. It's okay to be angry, but channel your anger in the right direction. Be angry and sin not. Amen. Be angry and sin not. But what do? We take our anger and we attack the people closest to us and take it all out of them. Now, Rick, I'm looking at you, but I don't know anything that's happened. So just try to act innocent. The enemy's trying to take your peace. He's trying to steal your peace. Because if he can get you into fear, get you into anger, get you out of your ball game, then it's going to be a time where you can miss it, where you can sin, where you can make mistakes. And then he loves that. Then you make the mistake, and then what does he do? Condemnation. See, I mean, he's just hitting you from all, and then he just beats you up about that, and you're just a loser. See, you're no good. You're never going to amount to anything. All that stuff. So we have to realize this, you know, and I don't know about you. I've been in fear. I mean, while I've been pastoring. I mean, even in the last several years, I was dealing with a financial situation in my office. Just right down the hallway here. In my office, shaking in fear. I mean, I don't know what a panic attack is, but I mean, it was like a panic attack. I was uncontrollably shaking in fear. And we're dealing with the refinance of the church, and because of all the things that have happened in the economy, and we went through the process of refinances, and the last minute it was turned down, and so I'm about to go meet with the bankers, and I'm intimidated. I'm weak. You ever been there? And sometimes the fear comes on so strongly, it's a tangible thing on your body. And what is that? That is believing the lies more than you're believing the word. And so my peace, it left. It was there the whole time? Sure it was. But I'm not tapping into it. So I just fall back on my training. First thing I did, call Susie in my office. Remember this, Susie? Susie came in and she's just carefree Susie. She's almost laughing at me. Doesn't that make you feel real good? Where's the compassion? And she just comes in, has this smile, and it's all going to be like, I'm not a care in the world. It's all going to be all good, you know. And then so she prays for me. And you know, prays her prayer and then leaves me in the office. I'm like, well, next time you want me to pray for you, I'm not going to do it. I was mad. I wanted sympathy. I wanted pity. I wanted hand-holding and hugs. and telling me it's all going to be okay. But you don't get that at my house. Sometimes I hate my house. Because we've taught them faith. And so they actually bring back up the things you taught them. Don't you hate that? I remember when, you know, Grayson was younger and, you know, just a little kid. He's correcting me about my confession. I mean, I wanted to slap him. You're right. So Susie did her thing, and then I went to the Word. Went to the Word? What a revelation! Who had ever thought of that? Went to the Word and found a bunch of promises that had to do with my situation. And that helped a little bit. Then I began to pray in the Spirit, pray in tongues. Oh my God, you pray in tongues? Yes, I pray in tongues. And I'm not ashamed of praying in tongues. And if you don't act better, I'm going to pray in tongues right now. And finally, after all of that, I don't know the time period, it might have been a couple hours, I came to my happy place. My peace that was there all along returned. And I went to my meeting and we worked it out and got it refinanced. Got a, you know, great deal. But see, the enemy, he just beats you up about things in the future that haven't even happened yet. And we're all like running that all around, and then he's just leading us down this trail. It hasn't even happened. You see, he wants you to look at things through your natural eyes. He wants you to look at circumstances where God wants you to see into his realm. And to see what he has to say about it. Because what he has to say about it is the final opinion. You may have that bad report, but what does God say? Things may look bleak in your bank account, but what does God say? You may be feeling something in your body, but what does God say? What does he have to say about it? And what happens when we get in fear? We believe his lies, the enemy's lies, more than we believe God's word. Let's look at John 16. I love John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. It's awesome. Read those chapters probably more than any chapters in the Bible, maybe, but close. John 16, verse 33, Amplified. I have told you these things so that you may, in me, you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you'll have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. But be of good cheer. Take courage. Yes. That's right. I like that. Take courage. Yeah. Take it. Take courage. Yeah. Be confident. Be certain, undaunted. For I, talking about Jesus, I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of the power to harm you and have conquered it for you. He's already conquered the situation. He conquered it 2,000 years ago. He's already won the victory. The word tribulation means situation so difficult that it causes one to feel stressed, squeezed, pressured, or crushed. That's what I felt that day. It was like a crushing. You ever felt that? was like a squeezing. I just felt crushed. Something was crushing me. It was like a force. It was fear. It was crushing me from the enemy. It means distress, affliction, troubled. It's a level of intensity that becomes almost unbearable. You ever been there? Just unbearable situation. And so Jesus said, in this world you have tribulation. We don't preach a message here of perfection. We don't preach, because sometimes we feel like if we have tribulation, then I must be in sin. I must, previous mistakes. All these. The enemy just hits us from all these different areas. But we have tribulation just by living in this world. Just by life. There's a devil out there who's the god of this world, little g. But he's the god of this world system. And so he's working. And so if it's not in your life today, it's probably around in someone that you're dealing with. Could you imagine the tribulation that people are going through without Jesus? I've been there in the ICU room when someone, a family doesn't have a pastor, or they don't have a church family, or they don't really know the things of God. I mean, they are just shaking. I remember after 9/11, we went out in the streets and ministered to people. It was an amazing time of ministry, unlike really any time I've seen before. People would come to the door, and we would talk to them, and they would be shaking with fear. They've got the TV running with all the news, and they're just wondering what's going to happen next. And then we gave them a track, Freedom from Terror. And we ministered to them the love of God and God's peace and God's help. We saw thousands of people saved during that time. But you don't realize how much people deal with. I mean, even people in this room, they deal with fear. But God's got a way. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. God is peace. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Peace. They call Him the Comforter. And so today, I just want to encourage you to take courage. And I just believe today, I believe in the anointing. Because I don't believe in my words, but I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit working in places. And so I expect the Holy Spirit to be working right now. And if your heart is open, I'm even while I'm speaking, I'm expecting courage to come upon you. Strength to come upon you. The power of God to come upon you. Because that's who Jesus is. Two or three are gathered in my name, there I am. And in Amplified, I am is capitalized, just like the great I am. I am is in this room. I am is here. The same one that parted the Red Sea. You don't think He can handle your problem? But if we were dealing with a place of fear, how's that answer going to come to you? When you're feeling pressure, what do? Do you continue to focus on the circumstances? Now, I want to show a video here of Deion Sanders. Everybody know Deion Sanders? Deion, football players. Talking about a football theme today. Deion is the only player, professional athlete, that played in the Super Bowl in the World Series. And if you may not know it, Deion is a Spirit-filled believer. And is his last name Grills? Grillis? Grills? Bear, I'll call him Bear. You ever seen that show Man vs. Wild? Where they drop Bear in the wilderness and he's got to live off the land? Well, he's doing a new show called Running Wild, and it's with celebrities. And he has these celebrities on the program. Now, this is, excuse the pun, it's in prime time. Thanks, Frank. But it's on NBC, and he brings these celebrities. And so he had Dion on the program, who is a Spirit-filled Christian. Now, Bear is a Christian, too. I don't know if he's Spirit-filled. Maybe, I don't know. It doesn't matter. But anyway, I want to show you this clip. It's awesome. It really fits today.
This is crazy, man.
I promise you right at the beginning, I would keep you super safe.
You can't control that. I don't trust me. It ain't got nothing to do with you.
Okay. No. Dion?
Y'all taking things too far.
Dion is really mentally struggling with this. You know, he's kind of reached an impasse, a place where he cannot mentally go on. And I've been there, and I don't know what the answer is, apart from just sit beside him and try and encourage him and try and help him to overcome this mountain. Because it is a mountain, not only physically, but for him, you know, mentally.
Hold on, Bear. I know me. Until something clicks inside of me, I'm not doing it. It's something that has to click in me.
Okay, Iris, that's fair enough.
Bear's like, come on, we can do it. I'm like, no, Bear, you got to wait until the peace overcomes me about this. I'm not ready until I'm ready.
Lord, in the name of Jesus.
I began to pray in tongues. This is language between me and God, where he knows. But I wanted a direct line, a direct contact, so God could expedite this process and issue the peace that I needed.
Let's clip you in, and then we'll start moving. That's easy.
Hold on, Bear.
Good man. Well done, you. Well done, Dion. That's my man. Okay, great. We just keep moving along. Okay, let's go.
And I say, Lord, you didn't bring me way out here to end it. You don't play games. You never lied to me. You never forsaken me. You never let me down.
There you go. Look, easy. You've just done the difficult move. He's turned a corner now. And it was amazing to see and inspiring and encouraging. And I thought, there's prime time. See that little ledge in front of you, just a meter in front of you? That's where you want to get your foot to.
To climb on the side of that mountain has to be the most horrifying experience I've ever had, because you can't look down. You look down, it's over. You really can't look up. You really got to look straight ahead.
Hallelujah. I mean, that was prime time on prime time. I was just in shock watching that. I've never seen anything like that on, that was on NBC. You can go see the whole program on their website, or his website, or NBC, whatever. And he tells his testimony, too, after he won the Super Bowl, how, you know, he was depressed. He had no joy. He wanted to take his life, contemplated suicide, and how he got saved. But I just thought that was just, what do you do when pressure's on? And that's, he said, I'm not going anywhere. And this is a good revelation. I'm not going anywhere until I have peace. And he did what he knew to do, what his training, he's all about training. And it kicked in, and he began to pray in the Spirit until that peace came. You should have seen, go see the video and see what he was climbing. You know, he grew up in Florida, in the city, in the inner city. They don't have mountains there. He said he's never camped. He's never done anything like that. And here he is climbing the side of the mountain. Well, it's the same thing for us today, what we're dealing with. What do you do when your peace is being threatened, when you're in fear, when you're going through, how do you handle things? Let's look over in Philippians 4. Philippians 4, verse 6. This is so good right here. This is so good. Amplified says, "Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything." That pretty much covers it all there. And this is what the Apostle Paul is saying for us to do when we're faced with fear and anxiety and pressure and stress and even anger. He says, "By prayer and petition, definite requests, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God, and God's peace," everybody say God's peace,
"God's peace,
shall be yours, that tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ." And so, fearing nothing, not fearing the creditors, not fearing your boss, not fearing your neighbor, the bankers, the doctors, your wife. Not this wife. That peace, let's see, where am I? Fearing nothing from God and being content with his earthly lot, whatever sort that is, that peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Let's keep going. For the rest, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence and is honorable and seemly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there's any virtue and excellence, and if there's anything worthy of praise, think on and weigh and take account of these things. Fix your minds on them. Next verse. Practice what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and model your way of living on it, and the God of peace, of untroubled, undisturbed well-being, will be with you. Where do you go when trouble comes? Where do you go when fear tries to take hold of you? See, Joyce Meyer's got a book called The Battlefield of the Mind. It's a great book. But this is where the battle is, right here. And the soul, the mind, the will, the emotions, it's the connector between the spirit and the natural. And so that's where it is. And again, so many times it's worry, it's doubt, it's things about the future. It's just these expectations that are coming from out here. But what we have to learn to do in those times when it just becomes so overwhelming, really every day, whether you're feeling good or not, every day do it to prepare you for those times when you need it. But you need to look inward. Look to the Spirit of God. Go to the Word. Prayer in the Spirit, praying in tongues. I can't tell you how many times in my life, and I've been in a situation, and I was just stressed out, and I just prayed in tongues until peace came. And there's times you'll pray, and then there'll be a spirit of victory. Or how many times I've just taken the Word of God and begin just to read the Word out loud. It's a tangible thing. You feel, and we need to know, but you feel that fear, that intimidation leave, and you feel power come. Courage comes. Strengthening comes. Now, and I know we're dealing with people that maybe not as strong in their faith, and that's where we as believers, You know, we work with them. We come and encourage. We should be encouraging each other. What is it? I mean, if Eddie's going through something, I bring my courage and give it to him. I encourage him. Words of faith, words of love, prayer, the Word of God. The Word of God is quick and living and powerful. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. You may not feel it at first, but when you speak the word, life is in that. And those words contain something. They contain power. They contain healing. They contain provision. They contain deliverance. They contain salvation. Those words are containers. And you got to turn the game around on the enemy. Instead of keep speaking his lies, start speaking God's truth. And those circumstances, they have to change. Jesus won the battle 2,000 years ago, so you keep speaking. You keep standing. Don't you give up. Don't you quit. That's what the enemy's trying to do. He's trying to torment you and to paralyze you, to draw you back. He's just a liar, and he'll use every trick in the book. But you know what gets amazing in this Christian walk? What gets amazing is when you learn to walk in this. Well, first of all, people are attracted to that peace. You don't even realize it. When you're talking to them, you may be just talking to the waiter or the person at the cash register, and they just, something about you, a calmness. And maybe they mess up or make a mistake. And everybody else, have you ever been at the airlines when they had to cancel the flight or something happened? You should hear the cussing. You should hear people getting mad. And then you come up there with your peace. Oh, you want to be in first class? Why? Because you're a breath of fresh air. That peace, there's times up here I'm just going through great pressure. And I'll just come up here and preach a message. I've been where I've been sick up here. I'll have a healing line. I'm not going to let the devil stop me or cause me to back down. I'm just going to get right in his face with the word. And that's what we got to do. We got to get in the face of that fear and that intimidation and get with the word and do it until peace comes. And sometimes early on in my walk, I remember at ORU. At ORU, there's so much financial stress on me. I couldn't sleep. You ever been there? I couldn't sleep. The pressure. They're going to kick me out. I'm going home. God led me here, and now I'm going home. I used to go out to the walking track, and I'm just like Dion. I was just praying in tongues, walking that track late at night, just speaking in tongues, praying, quoting the word. And, you know, maybe at first it took a couple hours. Because I just I didn't know these things. But if you get more skilled, won't take 2 hours. Sometimes it can take 10 minutes. Sometimes 15 minutes. And you find your place of peace. That's your place of strength. Because I'm telling you, what the devil's meant for harm, God's going to turn it around. What the devil has taken from you, Bible says he's got to pay 7 times. He's constantly trying to lie to you. But we've learned here in the midst of the craziness to minister to people. And it's like you're sowing seed for your situation. Get your mind off your problem. That's the problem, is having your mind on it over and over and over and over. Get your mind off yourself. Get your mind off the problem. You know, Philippians 4:8 there. Get your mind on what's lovely and perfect and good report. Sean, come share that testimony. Sean ministered to somebody, ministered peace. It's right over here. This is awesome.
Can I say a couple things?
Go ahead.
Well, mean, it, no, you don't have to. I might need you. You know, he said something to me last week that I really like. He said, Sean, I don't like calling us Christians. I like calling us believers. And what he's talking about has everything to do with what we believe. And I got to thinking about it as he was talking today. When we are faced with those fears or situations and stress, it's got to do with what we believe. Not what I believe overall, but what I'm believing at this moment and yesterday and the day before and what I'm walking in. So Houston and I have been we've been carpooling to work recently, and we've been talking a lot. We say confessions and kind of preach to each other and just encourage each other in our days. And God's been showing me a lot lately about creating this atmosphere.
It's good.
And I've been talking to him about it, which we create this atmosphere around us, which is ironic. The job that he got is in heating and air conditioning. So we create an atmosphere by setting that thermostat. And this peace that he's talking about is an atmosphere. So I've been attempting to do that more, and we don't get it right every time. You know, just last weekend, I had someone really close to me more or less verbally attack me, and I lost it, and I got out of peace. You know, and then I came to church and listened Sunday morning, and I'm like, hey, I can get this right. So I got back on track. And I can't remember, was it Monday or Tuesday I sent you that email? But anyways, I think it was Tuesday. This guy at work, just to lay out the groundwork, we've been talking. I've been creating this atmosphere with my words, with not just my words, but with what I believe with my words. And I happened to answer the phone in my office. He was calling to talk to a warrant officer who was filling in charge for my boss, who's out of town for 3 weeks. And he said, where's Chief so-and-so? I said, she's not here right now. And he started blasting me about some problems that were going on in the building that he works in that has to do with some classrooms that he's going to be loaning to us and moving his furniture out so that we can get in and all this stuff. And I said, you know, it's no big deal. And he proceeded to cuss me out. And, you know, in years past, if you cuss me out, you and I are going to do business. But but I had already been creating this atmosphere. See, this has a lot to do with how we react, okay? I'd already been creating this atmosphere and meditating on peace and you know, just like nothing's... So I let him spew it out and ran on me for a little bit, and I said, Bart, here's the deal. I'm here to help you. I'll come over. I'll do whatever you need me to do to help make this right. Well, you can't. You're a contractor. Contractors can't lift. I said, well, you know, we're gonna work this out. We'll get it right. So he just went on some more. And he was really worked up into a froth, like we like to say, because he had created a different atmosphere. And I knew that I needed to change that atmosphere. So I sat there at my desk for a little while and prayed. I got in my truck and I drove over there to his building. And I just went on into his office. And I said, Bart, let's talk, you know. And he just started unloading on me. Not at that point, he wasn't fussing at me anymore, but he was like, you got to understand what the pressures I'm dealing with here. And he commenced to tell me every pressure, every problem that he had going on. And he has a lot of responsibilities. And I just sat there and let it out, you know. And then after he did it for a while, I said, you need peace. And I'm going to pray for you right now. Yeah. I didn't ask him. I just said, I'm going to pray for you right now. I took that atmosphere to him. Right. And so I prayed for him, for peace. And, man, just like a, I mean, this guy, you got to know him. He's always like this. He really is. He's like a walking heart attack waiting to happen. And I just saw this physical difference on him when I prayed for him. It's just like all of that was lifted off of him, and he just sat there and didn't know what to say. And then, and you got to understand sometimes when you're dealing with men and, in a tougher environment like that. I work at Fort Gordon around soldiers and retired soldiers. They don't say much. So, but I told him after I prayed for him, I said, I'm here to help you, and I'm going to take care of this. So I left his office and went down to start working in one of the classrooms, taking care of some stuff. And a little while later, he came down there. He said, he just kind of stood there quiet, and he said, I feel a lot better now. And then he walked out. I mean, and that's a lot, you know. You know that, really. That's a lot for somebody like him to say. So that, and just what was encouraging me was just that physical transformation. I just saw the weight lifted off of him.
That's good, Sean.
You know, that is exactly, you know, about making peace. And Sean, you could have easily met him with his anger. And, you know, had you not had that atmosphere of peace, and then it would just have escalated. And I've been there, and you just make that situation worse. And that's what the enemy wants, just to twist it and make his day worse and make your day worse. And then you go home and make your family's day worse and your neighbors. You know what I'm saying? And see, that's how most people live. That's how the world operates. And we got to change that. And it starts with us to realize who we are. And I'm not making light of your trial. I mean, I've been there. I've been just fear all over me. I admit of what's happened to me. But I've learned not to live there and let the enemy just dominate me and steal, kill, and destroy, and to just let it happen. And if you're too weak and you can't, and I've been there, and you can't do something on your own, call your crazy faith friends and have them come and have them share and have them pray for you. I mean, we'd never get beyond people praying for us and ministering to us. Sometimes you need that. You know, go have some coffee or get breakfast and you know, I was talking to one guy and he was going through something, and I said to him right in the midst of his trial, I said, I see you doing what I'm doing to somebody else. I said, this will be you. Speaking that. And so I want you to know we're peacemakers here today. And as you go out today, even maybe to the restaurant or with your neighbors or wherever you go, I mean, just observe. Take a moment from all of the stuff we're thinking about our lives and just observe people and listen to their words. And they'll tell you what's going on in their world. And they'll tell you and open the door for you to bring peace. And I just was talking to this pastor that Susie was mentioning that had people getting saved. One of the guys came to the church that he got saved. The light and the peace is so strong, they'll just come to you. They'll be attracted to it, and then they may not even know why, and you'll share words of life, and you'll pray for them, and you'll minister peace to them. Amen? I was thinking about kind of the response to today's message, and there were several things I was thinking about we could do and have people stand and have them come forward that's dealing with situation. I know there's people sitting in here going through tremendous trials, but I'm just going to do this based on today's message. Put up Psalm 23. I think I've got it in the Amplified version. And as I read these words, this is awesome. And I just want to encourage you as we're reading these words. Maybe we can say them together. Maybe that's what we'll do. Say them together. Jesus is your shepherd. He's the Prince of Peace. His Spirit is in you. And this is who he is, and this is what he does in your life. And now notice that it talks about the valley of the shadow of death. It's a shadow. Brother Copeland says, the shadow of a dog never bit anybody. But it may be a valley, and it's really is a shadow, and you're going through. But look at it this way today. Everything that's in Psalm 23, look at it in terms of in the midst of the trial. All of it in the midst of going through the valley. And look at it that way, and let these words minister. So let's just all say this together, okay? Do our best to say it together. Let's just say this. The Lord is my shepherd to feed, guide, and shield me. I shall not lack. He makes me lie down in fresh, tender green pastures. He leads me beside the still and restful waters. He refreshes and restores my soul, my life, myself. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with Him. Not for my earning it, but for His name's sake. Yes, though I walk through the deep, sunless valley, I will fear or dread no evil, for You are with me, Your rod to protect, Your staff to guide. They comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My brimming cup runs over. Woo! Surely or only goodness, mercy, and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life. And through the length of my days, the house of the Lord and His presence shall be my dwelling place. Man, He's my shepherd. He's my shepherd. I shall not lack. Because we lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. Prepares a table before me, a big banquet of all His provision in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil. His rod and His staff comfort me. Surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. This is Jesus. This is who He is. This is what He wants to do in your life. And I want you to know He's available right now to work and to do these things. The enemy is a liar. So I just thank You right now, Father, as we've read that and that the Word has been spoken, I just thank You for courage right now. Courage, strength, and right now, healing if necessary, deliverance, people being set free, peace coming in relationships. Oh, hallelujah. And Lord, maybe You're showing us, even right now, situations where we need to bring peace, where we need to turn the tables on the devil, and instead of getting caught up in all the chaos and making it further chaotic, Lord, help us to be an instrument of peace. Let Your love that so overwhelms us, let it flow out of us towards others. And love never fails. Now, I just declare right now in the name of Jesus that strife, maybe between a couple, maybe between a parent and a child, or maybe with a teacher or a co-worker or whatever it is, that strife has got to go in the name of Jesus, and the peace of God just overwhelms that situation. Greater is He that is in me than he that's in the world. And reconciliation comes. I speak reconciliation. I speak forgiveness. Lord, empower us to forgive today people that have hurt us. We need to realize it's the devil that's trying to get to us. So we make a decision today to forgive. We let it go. They don't have to pay the debt. We let it go in the name of Jesus. Thank You, Lord. You filled this church today with life givers. We are life givers. We have life, and we give life freely. We have received, freely we give. We go about today and every day, go about doing good and healing all those that are oppressed by the devil. For the God of peace is with us. Oh, thank you for it, Father. Thank you. Now, if you're here today, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here and you don't know the Prince of Peace, today's your day. Maybe you're like me, you're in church and heard about Jesus, but you never really knew what it had to do with you. And never really knew where you stood with God. Well, I want you to know that God's not mad at you, that He loves you. He's for you. You don't have to do anything to clean yourself up to come to Him. You just open your heart and just call on the name of Jesus. And He'll come flooding in. His peace will come flooding in to your life. Into your soul, your spirit will be made new, and it's going to affect your body. It's going to affect your life. And you'll know that you know that when you die, you're going to heaven. But here on this earth, I'm not saying perfect. There'll be tribulation, but you can have good cheer, knowing that Jesus has already defeated the enemy. So if you're here today and you said, yes, Pastor, pray with me. I want to be born again. I want to be saved. I want my life to be different. I want to know I'm going to heaven when I die. I want to walk in that abundant life. If that's you, signify by raising your hand. Say, yes, Pastor, pray with me. Praise God. One hand. Who else? Who else? Now, on the video, you saw Deion Sanders. He prayed in tongues. We believe here in the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. We believe that's for every believer. And again, it looks like salvation. You just you pray and you receive it, and the Holy Spirit will fill you up. And one of the evidences of it will be speaking in tongues. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need this equipment. And what you're dealing with, it'll help you in ministry. It'll help you in your study of the Word. It'll help you in your prayer time. It'll help you to have boldness and the power to be a witness. If you're here to say, yes, Pastor, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues, if that's you, raise your hand. Just be bold. I see one hand. Who else? Just be bold. Say, yes, I want that. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, let's stand, everybody. And those that raise their hand, please come forward. Please come forward. Brother, why don't you come forward? Now, let me ask you something. Are you filled with the Spirit? You speak in tongues? You do? Okay. You came from the Holy Spirit as well? Now, I want you to do this, guys. And again, I don't do this to embarrass anybody or judge anybody. I do it because I love you, okay? And we laugh about this, and it's okay to laugh. But would you do me a favor and ask your neighbor and say, do you want to come down for salvation? Do you want to come down and receive the Holy Spirit? If you do, I'll bring, because sometimes there's fear. Ask your neighbor and bring them down if they want to come. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you want something from God, take it. Don't let the enemy intimidate you. Hallelujah. Thank you for everybody for doing that. I just want everybody that wants that to receive it. All right, let's just praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. You have to ask. Sometimes you have to ask. You've got to be bold. All right, let's do this. And I believe everybody here is a believer, but there may be someone here that's not. Let's pray. Make sure this prayer of salvation. And then I want you guys to go with Georgette, and you're going to need some help. Someone help Georgette, and I want someone to pray with you and make sure you get exactly what you need. But everybody, let's just pray this from our hearts. Say, Father of peace. I come to you in the name of Jesus. I open my heart to you. I believe you raised Jesus from the dead. I confess Jesus as my Lord. And now, according to your word, I am saved. I'm born again. Heaven is my home. Thank you for forgiveness of my sins. That burden is lifted. I'm free. I'm free. And I receive your peace that surpasses all understanding. It just fills me up to overflowing. And now, Father, show me your plan for my life in the name of Jesus. I just speak a blessing over each person here right now in the name of Jesus. Blessings of God. Be blessed. Be blessed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, my goodness, brother. God's got a lot for you. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And if you do all do me a favor, follow Georgette, and she's going to minister you further and make sure you got exactly what you came up for. Hallelujah. Thank you. Let's give God praise. Let's give him praise. Hallelujah. Come on, brother. Oh, okay. Praise God. Which is a good son. Hallelujah. Let's give God praise. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're a good guy. Hallelujah. And we're going to have prayer partners right here. And maybe you didn't come forward. I understand. But if you want something else from God, come up with the prayer partners. Maybe you didn't come up for the Holy Spirit or something else. But come on up and receive. It's so easy. So easy. He loves you so much.